Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't chirping about it, and you've done more for me than you've done for the trees, so why would I even doubt it? If the rocks on the ground can say it, and the sky full of clouds can paint it, who am I to be here complaining, only thinking about what I would change, yeah, this is your world.
Rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, September the 9th, 2022. I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by some most anointed servant leaders in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and Deacon William Isbell. So on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we just want to welcome you to this morning's service, and we pray that you will hear something that will bless your soul and uplift your spirit. Hallelujah. We will now go to opening prayer with Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, giving you all the praise and the glory for another beautiful day you've made for us to be able to come together as a family and ministry to worship you and to learn your word, Heavenly Father. We just pray for all of those who are near and far who are listening today, that the message touches their soul in a way where they'll want to follow you, Heavenly Father. And we want to bless the messenger as well, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for the Spirit Alive Ministries and for the family that we are with in community. We give you all the praise and the glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was nice. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. In the name of Jesus, the devil is alive. Hallelujah.
We all have gifts to share. Everyone, everywhere. Let the truth be told. Miracles unfold. We all have gifts to share.
God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the highly esteemed and much beloved mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and bring us a powerful reading from the devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So please retrieve your Bibles. Hallelujah, and give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, everyone, if I didn't speak to everyone, I love you, whether you're near or far. Everyone around the world, know you are loved here at this church. Our meditational reading is entitled, Expect Good Things to Happen to You. We'll be looking at Ephesians 6, 7, verse 17. Read in part, and take the helmet of salvation. When the phone rings at odd times, most people think, oh dear, it must be bad news. I wonder what the good news is that it cannot wait until morning. But that's what we tend to think is the worst. when we hear the boss wants to see you, instinctively we think, oh dear, this is not good. But how do we know that it's not going to be about a promotion? Now, our minds are inclined toward the negative. So to guard our minds against negative thoughts, we are to put on the helmet of salvation, which is the hope of salvation. And it says so in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. If you are going through a trial right now, putting on as a helmet the hope of salvation means that you have a confident expectation of good coming your way. It means that you choose to believe that this trial that you are going through is only temporary because God will see you through it. It means that you believe that this difficult period will end with your salvation, your preservation, wholeness, wellness, health, and prosperity. You may not know what is going to happen this week, but one thing you can do is to put on the helmet of the hope of salvation and tell yourself that you are going to have a fantastic week. Well, you know, Pastor, you never know what to expect. We hear so much bad news these days. Another flu outbreak, another company retrenching its workers. I really hope that I will not be retrenched next, but I cannot be sure. I am keeping my fingers crossed. No, my friend. Biblical hope is not, I hope so, I know so. You can have a confident expectation of good happening to you because you are not like the people of the world. You are a child of the living God. You have a Savior watching over you. Thank you, Jesus. You are a child of the living God. There are more angels given charge over you than there are demons against you. Ooh, I feel like I need to read that again, but I won't. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And 1 John 4:4 says that. There is every reason for you to have a confident expectation of good happening to you. Amen. May the Lord add blessings and favor upon the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and mighty word. The thought for the day, as a child of the living God, you can have a confident expectation of good happening to you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You are born with a grace.
The gift that looks good on you.
That grace is your gift.
The gift that looks good on you.
It's a divine enablement.
The gift that looks good on you.
If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
The systems of the world will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For the systems were designed
to
make you doubt what heaven is.
Don't you doubt.
The systems
will
try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For the systems were designed
to
make you sit down on your
gift. Don't you let.
But the gift God gave to you,
this gift,
give it back to him.
Offer it up.
When he sees it operating,
yes,
it's a compliment to him.
Give him glory.
For the gift God gave to you,
this gift,
give it back to him.
Offer it up. Looking good.
The gift that looks good on you.
I say your gift.
It looks good.
Yeah.
The gift that looks good on you.
Work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift that looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear it well.
And you're wearing your gift well.
God has
graced you.
And you wear it well.
All right, Cody, help me out. You wear it?
You wear it well. You wear it well.
God has graced you.
on it. Just be you.
The gift, it looks good on you.
Uh-huh.
It looks good on you.
Can't be a better
gift,
you than you.
Good.
And you wear.
And you wear it well.
God has graced you.
God has graced you. And
come on, let's take it up. Wearing alto wear. Say it again. Yeah.
It looks good.
Good attitude.
The gift, it looks good on you. It looks good on you.
Looks good.
The gift, it looks good.
And you wear it.
And you wear it.
Come on, let's encourage somebody to be themselves.
God has graced you.
God has graced you to be you.
And you wear
it's an honor.
Well.
Take it out. Soprano wear.
You.
You're graced in that area.
It looks good on you.
Work your grace.
The gift, it looks good. And you wear it well.
God has graced you to sing soprano.
God has graced you.
Come on.
Yeah. And you
take
wear
it out.
It well.
That's your grace. Say it. Come on, everybody. Put your hands.
Ooh.
Look at somebody say, operate in your grace. You're operating your grace, it'll make you prosperous.
God has
graced you to be you.
You
honor it.
Take
it up. Tenor, you got it.
It looks good on you.
Come on, Tenor.
It looks good.
Wear your grace.
It looks good on you.
Work your grace.
The gift, it looks good.
That's it.
It looks good on you.
Where you at?
The gift, it looks good.
And you wear it.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time that I feel is the most powerful time of our worship service, because it is a time when we take our prayers, our supplications, our intercessions, and our petitions before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And when we pray here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, you need to understand, we pray until something happens, because we pray expecting God to move. We pray believing that God will do everything that he says he will do. And when we seek an audience with him, oh, hallelujah, we begin to praise God in advance, because we know. He has heard us. And we praise God this morning, because there are times that we don't even know what to pray. Hallelujah.
Right.
But we are so thankful that we serve a God that pities every groan.
Yes.
Translates every tear.
Yes.
And understands every moaning and yearning. So right now, I want all of us to clear our minds and focus on the Most High, because we're about to stand in agreement with God's anointed apostle as she takes us to the throne of grace. Apostle Zeta.
Amen. God bless you all. Good morning. We are going to enter into the throne of grace this morning, trusting our God to move as he always does. Let us go into prayer. Let us bow our hearts, bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you as always, thanking you for all that you are and all that you do, and all that you continue to do for us, your children. Thank you for another day that you have awakened us, another day that you have blessed us, another day that you have allowed us to serve you once again. We thank you. We thank you for each and every one that is present. We thank you for those that are listening in this morning. Praise God. And we just come to you, Lord, with our petitions, asking, Lord, for you to move in our behalf.
in a mighty way.
We pray, Lord, that you will just touch us if there's anything, as was prayed in the prayer before. We pray that you would forgive us for whatever the reasons are, in the name of Jesus, and we know that you will, and we thank you for it. We lift up the lost this morning all over the world.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Any that might be in our households, our communities, our cities, and across the world. We pray that you will move mightily in the name of Jesus, moving us and through us, Lord, that we may reach the lost. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, send forth laborers everywhere in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you. We pray for the lost. Pray for them sincerely, God, that many will come to know you in these days ahead. In the name of Jesus, that they may escape, hallelujah, that they may escape the wrath, hallelujah. Oh, God, that you would raise up many, that they would be also effective in bringing the lost to you. We lift up the people that have been affected by natural disasters, the hurricanes, flooding, fires, those that are diseased, war victims.
Yes.
In the name
yes,
of
Jesus.
Jesus
Church, Father. In
those
the name.
That are being persecuted, those that are suffering, even those that are suffering from their own deeds, Lord, we pray that you would touch, turn their hearts around in the name of Jesus. Touch those that are feeling hopeless and going around and doing all sorts of evil. We pray, Lord, that you will get their attention in the name of Jesus, that you will turn them around in Jesus' name. We speak hope, hallelujah, where there is no hope. We speak love where there is no hope. We come against the spirit of hatred in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, we bind that spirit. But we loose love in places where there is none. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
We pray, Lord, that you will mend the relationships with families, that you will restore relationships with families, with the church, those that are in marital relationships. We pray restoration in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, that you will touch families right now through their grief, through their losses of loved ones, through violence, and all sorts of reasons. In the name of
Jesus.
Bless those
Lord.
That have the deaths recently.
Yes,
lift them
Lord.
Up to you, Lord, asking, Lord, that you will touch, that you will
touch
heal.
Jesus. Yes,
oh,
Lord.
God. That you
touch
will move with compassion through your people in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Those that know you, those that love you,
mm-hmm.
we pray, Lord, that they will be used, that we all will be used for your sake.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In the name
Lord.
Of Jesus. And we thank you. We pray, Lord, for those that are in jails, prisons, juveniles.
Yes. Touch Jesus.
Those that are ready to be released, we pray, Lord, that you will release them, that they can go forth, those, especially those, those that have accepted you in their lives. We pray that you would use them for your glory. Them saved, Lord. In the name of Jesus, that you would strengthen, hallelujah, that you would allow them to be served and to be taught under those, Lord, that care. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you place them where they can hear your word, where they can be instructed.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, so that they
Lord.
Can know what they need to do and know their place in the body of Christ. Pray for world peace.
Yes.
Even though it's in turmoil, in areas there is no peace. We pray, Lord, that you would bring about peace.
My Lord.
And that you would move in the political realm.
My Lord, yes,
and
Jesus.
You know the situation. We pray, Lord, that you would move, that you would raise up leaders that know you.
Yes.
Yes.
For your
yes, Lord.
And for the sake of your people. In the name of Jesus. And we just praise you for it.
Yes.
We pray
Lord
also
God.
That you would lift up
Lord
Apostle
Jesus.
Cook.
Bless,
yes,
bless her,
Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
As you always do, but especially right now in the loss of her stepson.
Yes.
We lift up this family.
Yes.
We pray, Lord,
yes.
for
thank you, Jesus.
Her stepson's wife. We pray that
yes.
you will ease
thank
her
you,
pain.
Lord. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Take care of her, Lord,
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Please, Jesus.
Thank
and
you.
See
bless
her
you.
Through her grief and pain in the name
yes.
of Jesus. Touch her right now, Lord,
yes.
as we pray. In the name
yes.
of Jesus.
In the
yes.
name
thank
of Jesus.
You,
yes. Thank you, Lord.
We
yes.
thank you,
Lord.
We pray
thank
you,
Lord.
For what
you
are doing right now.
Yes.
And we lift up the ministry of Spirit Alive. We ask, Lord.
Yes. Bless them,
that
oh God.
You will continue to move as you are, as you already are.
Yes, Lord.
We ask,
thank
Lord,
you,
that
Jesus.
You would move even in a more powerful way.
Thank
yes,
you,
Lord.
Yes,
you will reach in areas, Lord, that have not been reached as yet.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just thank you. We just thank you and we praise you. If there's
yes.
any sick among us, Lord,
touch.
We pray that you would heal. Because
mm-hmm.
we know that just your hand touch is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So we pray that you would touch and heal this morning in the name
yes.
of Jesus. That
yeah.
you would meet the needs. Those that are facing situations that it's hard to deal with for them, we pray, Lord, for them in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
that
touch
you would
Jesus.
Touch
you know
right
all
now,
about
God,
it. Yes, sir.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That you will meet every need, no matter what
mm-hmm.
it is, in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you. We thank you in
thank
advance.
Thank you, Lord.
For what you're doing
thank
right
you,
now.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
We speak peace
thank
among
you,
the body
Jesus.
Of Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And we just
yes.
thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're already doing. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Among us.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for
yes.
it. We thank you for your strength.
Yes, Lord. Every
hallelujah.
Blessing. Yes.
Oh, God. We thank you for your love.
Yes,
yes
Lord
we
God.
Have your
hallelujah.
You can spread it everywhere. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You can spread it abroad. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You. We thank you for your love today.
Yes.
In Jesus'
Lord
holy
God.
And righteous name. Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let the church
amen.
Of God say amen.
Amen.
As we go march.
Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's message. Please retrieve your Bibles if you have not already done so and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. And today we're going to be looking at verses 42 through 52. Acts 13, verses 42 through 52. Now, if you are listening via your computers and you don't have a Bible, you can go to BibleGateway.com. Hallelujah. Type in Acts 13, 42 through 52. And I will be reading from the King James Version. Hallelujah. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and their chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, asking that you just step into this body of clay and use me, Lord, effectively for your purpose and glory. Father God, I pray that this message, this teaching will edify your saints. And I pray, Lord God, if someone is listening today that does not know you in the pardon of their sin, that they will come running, asking what they must do, Father God, to be saved. It is in your holy and righteous name I do pray all things. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. First, I want to give honor to God and to all of you, of course, and to the beautiful anointed ones here at Spirit Alive. God bless you. Now, I'm just so glad you're all here this morning for this teaching. A couple of weeks ago, I relayed a beautiful story about a Puerto Rican woman that became involved in a church and was led to Christ. And after her conversion, she went to her pastor and said, I want to do something to help with the church's ministry. And he asked her what her talent was, and she could think of nothing simply because she could barely even speak English. But like I said, she loved children, so she was put on one of the church buses that went into the neighborhoods and picked up the kids. And every week she was faithful. And every week she would find the worst looking kid on the bus. And she would put that kid on her lap and whisper over and over the only words she had learned in English. I love you. Jesus loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And after several months, she mm-hmm. became truly attached to this one particular little boy. Hallelujah. And
Yeah.
He came to Sunday school every week with his sister, and he would sit on the woman's lap, but he never made a sound. But each week she would tell him, all, you know, all through Sunday school and all the way home, I love you and Jesus loves you. One day, to her amazement, the little boy turned around and he stammered, I love you too. Then he put his arms around her and gave her a big hug. That was 2:30 on a Sunday afternoon. At 6:30 that night, he was found dead. His own mother had beaten him to death and thrown his body in the trash.
Oh, glory.
But I love you, and Jesus loves you. Those were some of the last words this little boy heard in his short life from the lips of a Puerto Rican woman who could barely speak English. Now, this woman gave her one talent to God, and because of that, a little boy who never heard the word love in his own home experienced and responded to the love of Jesus Christ. Now, if this sister could allow herself to be used by God instead of hiding behind the fact that she spoke little English, why can't we? Why are we hiding? Why are we remaining in the shadows? God wants to use us to make a difference in the people around us, and we are in the process of discovering and using our God-given gifts. So this morning, let me encourage somebody that you can and you will make a difference if you will just use what God has given you, not what he gave to another, but you in your personality, with your gifts and with your talents. Now, I know we may wish we had a different gift or could do things the way somebody else does them. However, ministry that makes a difference begins when we surrender ourselves to God and we ask him to use us the way he wants to. You see, God wants our life to make a lasting difference. So today, I want us to look at how we can live a life so that our lives will have a lasting impact on those around us. Today, I want to talk to you about life-changing ministry. I'm talking about effective ministry. I'm talking about ministry that makes a difference. First thing I want you to know and understand that life-changing, effective ministry leaves the door open. Look at verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. Now, it really says something here that Paul and Barnabas were invited back. It shows us that as hard as some of Paul's writings are, he still ministered with love and sensitivity to people that left the door open into their lives. You see, Paul didn't go in kicking in the door, wanting to be the only voice that they heard. No. He didn't go in wanting to be the know-all and the end-all. He opened the door for ministry to come into their lives, point blank, period. You see, Paul and Barnabas spoke the truth in love, but they did not burn their bridges. The only ultimatum these brothers gave were those that God had given. They did not add to God's word or take away from it. Instead, they let the power and the truth of God's word have its effect. In other words, they let the word of God have its way.
Yeah.
Paul said that he became all things to all men, so that by all means he might win some of them to the Lord.
Yeah.
Whatever we do here at Spirit Alive, we want to always endeavor to leave the lead doors of ministry open into the people's lives. You see, we have to know and understand that all of us are a work in process. Huh. And you may be concerned about someone's life or their standing with God. But there's one little thing you better remember. Then never forget it. God was working in them long before you came on the scene, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not discouraging you from ministering to them, but I am discouraging you from pushing too hard or pushing too fast or trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. If we try to force someone to receive God's love and forgiveness, what we are doing, or we're probably closing the door on future opportunities for the word and the love of Jesus to be shared with them.
Yes, sir.
So, how should we approach the ministry of evangelism?
Yes.
How do we share our faith with others who need to know Jesus and experience his forgiveness? Well, the first thing we should do is probably obvious. But we can never overlook its importance and its power. And that, thanks to God, is the first thing we ought to be doing is praying for them.
Right.
You see, we are in a spiritual battle. And we can only win to the extent that we pray.
Yeah.
See, when we don't pray, we don't have no power. When we don't pray, there is no lasting success. You often hear us say here, little prayer, little power. But much prayer brings much power.
Yeah. Yes,
so, you know, the effectiveness of your ministry will be determined by the way you pray. Not just for the person that you're speaking to, but for you. Am I really doing this for your glory, God? Am I really demonstrating your love toward these people, Father God? Am I being sensitive to where they might be in life? You know, am I aware that I don't have the backstory? So I just can't jump in and start telling them what they need to do and how they need to do it. But Lord, I'm praying by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will show me what needs to be done. You will show me what needs to be said.
Yeah.
And then what you got to do is understand that God is a relational God. So you must build genuine friendships with those that God brings into your life.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find something in common with folk and just spend time fellowshipping, laugh together, walk together, experience life together. You see, you can say a whole lot more to people by the way you live your life around them. See, people, they believe what they see far more than they ever believe what you say. And they will never believe what you say until they can see what they believe lived out in you. And then the next thing we have to do is we have to let it happen naturally. Now, what I'm saying here is that when the opportunity to talk about Jesus and what he's done for you comes up, please just be real about it. Just be transparent about it. This is not the time to self-grandize and talk about how wonderful you are. Don't dress stuff all up in church language that folks might not understand.
Mm-hmm.
Just be yourself and tell them how your life is different since Jesus forgave you and changed your heart. And then, like I said, we must always be sensitive, not just to the people around us, but we have to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling us as he uses us to bring someone closer to receiving God's free gift of forgiveness.
Preach, girl.
Be sensitive to the perceptions and the needs of the other person.
Yeah.
Amen.
And please, whatever you do, don't overwhelm them by trying to tell them your entire testimony. But instead, guard your friendship. Keep it intact. You will see that there will be plenty of time for you to share different things about your testimony.
Yeah.
And don't argue with people over different beliefs. That's not what you're out there for. We are here to share about our own experience with God. But again, don't force anything. Let it flow. Leave the door open for future ministry. You don't have to plant the seed, water. You know the word of God. We just do what we're supposed to do. Because life-changing ministry, effective ministry, is going to strengthen not only yourself, but it's going to strengthen others. Listen,
Amen.
43, when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God.
Yeah.
See, when God uses us to help someone else receive his love and forgiveness, he also wants us to help them grow. This is what we call discipleship, people. It boils down to giving them the tools and the encouragement and the application of the word of God so that they can spiritually grow. It teaches them how to stay connected to God. Not to you, but to God. So we need to teach people how to pray.
Amen.
We need to teach people how to trust and believe.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, many of the Jews and Gentiles believed in the message of Paul and Barnabas and brought that day, and they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they followed Paul and Barnabas around looking for guidance in their new faith. Now, Paul and Barnabas talked with them and urged them to continue in God's grace, which they had received by believing on Jesus, hallelujah, as that extraordinary promised one, who had provided forgiveness for all.
Yeah.
You see, life-changing ministry does not end when God uses us to lead somebody to the Lord. Oh, no, 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 no. That is just the beginning. See, we need to stay with them and help them to grow. And that's probably most of what Paul and Barnabas did throughout that week. In fact, it's possible that Paul and Barnabas stayed in Pisidian Antioch for several months, as we will notice from what we read in verse 49. Now, most of these people were probably already fairly religious and had read or had heard the Old Testament frequently.
Yeah.
What some of them needed was encouragement to keep their trust in Jesus and not on external laws and codes of conduct that were common in the Jewish law. So I ask you today, what do people around you need? Are you really involved in strengthening others? I'm telling you, it's not that difficult to do. Just encourage somebody. Pray for them. Ask them how they are doing, and then actually stick around to hear the answer. Ask them about their walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Or if there's anything that you can pray with them about.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get together with somebody else and study the Bible together. See, this has to be our lifestyle. A great part of our lifestyle is to strengthen and encourage others to grow in their faith.
And as
we do so, we're going to see not only a change in the body of Christ, but the folks in the community will start changing around us as well. Because as we see from the word, life-changing, effective, transformational ministry can impact the whole community. Verse 44, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Now,
amen.
Some manuscripts, they put an introductory sentence in front of verse 44. So it happened that the word of God spread throughout the whole city. Now, whether it belongs there or not, we can be fairly certain that Paul and Barnabas did not just sit around and wait for the next Sabbath to roll around. They had boots on the ground. They were keeping it busy. They were interacting with people in the marketplace. They were probably everywhere that they could share the gospel. Also, the new believers were most likely sharing their new faith in Jesus with anyone that would listen to them.
Yeah.
Now, what impact might the gospel have in our communities if every believer got on board with sharing their faith, praying for the needs of that community, praying for the sick, prayer walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I love prayer
Amen.
Walking. Just walk down the street. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to pray for, I start praying. Why? Because I'm going to be obedient. Now, does God still do things like healing those who are sick, blind, deaf, or crippled? Yes, he does.
Yes,
does he still drive out evil spirits who bring certain sicknesses and bondage? The last time I checked, the answer is still yes. Can God miraculously deliver people from sexual addictions and chemical addictions, such as drugs or alcohol or other life-controlling problems?
Yes,
he can. Can the good news about Jesus make somebody a better parent who will love their kids and raise them to love God and others? Oh, you better believe it. Ha!
Yes, he does. Yes.
He's a can-do God.
Yes.
Unlike Presidian Antioch, our communities will probably not be greatly impacted by someone who comes into one of the churches and preaches a sermon. Mm-mm. Oh, everybody feel good in the moment. Everybody that was present, they might get a blessing. However, our communities can be most impacted when we, the church, live our lives according to the word of God.
Yeah.
If the Christians in our communities would be willing to shift their focus outward and be a little less concerned about how well off they are or how comfortable their lives are or how spiritual they look, then we might just begin to see the impact of what the good news can do in a community.
Yeah.
Now, what about us? What are we doing with what God has given us? Are we using our gifts to make a difference in our church and our community? Are we using it to strengthen the entire body of Christ? Are we still staying filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be most effective in sharing Jesus with others? I believe that it's possible to see communities transformed by the power of God working in and through his people. But life-changing ministry will not happen unless we are willing to let God change us and then use us to make a difference.
Amen.
I'm talking about we have to allow God to humble us. We have to allow God to strip away from us everything that is not like him. See, because when we set out to do something significant for the Lord, we need to understand, we have an enemy who wants to stop us in our tracks. We also need to know how to respond to opposition against God's purposes that Apostle Zeta Soul eloquently teaches about, which leads me on to my next point. Life-changing ministry boldly faces opposition inside and outside. When the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, saying, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, We now turn to the Gentile.
Yeah.
But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So, you know, they just shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium.
Yeah.
The expression used here to describe the behavior of the Jews is the verb to blaspheme. The Jews began to blaspheme the name of Jesus. They likely told the crowd that this Jesus whom Paul made such a fuss about was a criminal who'd been cursed by God and had been crucified on a tree. Now, let me explain something, too. Jealousy is most commonly seen in those who are protecting their own interests. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I said we've got to know that we know that we know that we're right with God. And why were the Jews jealous? It was because they had been in Pisidian Antioch for years and had not made any significant difference in the lives of the people there.
Yeah.
Now here comes a couple of missionaries who began to draw hundreds, if not thousands of people. It just wasn't fair. But let me make one thing crystal clear up in here this morning.
Come on.
Absolutely no room, no place for jealousy all up in the Lord's ministry.
Amen.
If another person, another church, another ministry is successfully reaching people, I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to get upset. I'm going to be rejoicing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Might rejoice myself all the way over there and praise right along with them. And why is that? That's because I know that there are plenty of needy people to go around.
Yes,
and it doesn't matter if your community is large or if it's small. We just need to know that what God has called us to do and then ask him to empower us to do it effectively. We need to approach everything with all of our energy, our creativity, and our resources, but also recognize that those things can never make a difference without the power of the Most High God working in us and through us. Okay?
Amen.
We don't have the power to raise anybody. We don't have the power to save anybody. All we can do, hallelujah, is let the Lord have his way.
Yeah.
Paul and Barnabas had genuine enemies who wished them ill. They even tried to sabotage their meetings by speaking against Jesus. So Paul and Barnabas, they didn't get mad. They even got more glad. And they got bold and told them the truth that they were rejecting God and they would now take the good news to the Gentiles who were open to receive it. Let me tell you something. When opposition comes, we don't need to fear it. But we shouldn't react harshly out of our own hurt and anger either. You see, God will help us deal appropriately with those who set themselves against him and his plan to save the world. We just need to trust him and be bold as we face whatever comes our way. Why? Because life changing effective ministry flows from the mission of God, not the mission of man, not the mission of self, but the mission of God. 47 says,
Amen.
For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed the word of the Lord spread through the whole region.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, explain something too.
Glory to God.
About some 700 years before Jesus came into the earth as a baby in a manger, the Lord spoke through Isaiah to Israel, told them, I, the Lord, have called you in a righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people in the light of the Gentiles. To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and release them from the dungeons, those who sit in darkness. That's Isaiah 42, 6 through 7. That was God's mission for Israel. But you have to understand something. God didn't just love Israel only. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son as the only possible payment for the sin of his people. Hallelujah. God's mission is designed to reach all around this earth and to cover it with love and forgiveness. But you got to understand, not everybody will receive that offer. You know?
Amen.
Paul and Barnabas took God's mission seriously. And they were willing to go to great lengths to see it fulfilled. Obviously, the Gentiles were quite happy with the idea that they were in on God's plan. Oh, hallelujah. Now they knew they were second-class citizens in God's kingdom. They knew that they were included in his plan. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell somebody this morning that you, too, are included in God's plan. He hasn't forgotten you or overlooked you. He knows where you've been and where you're going. He knows what's going on in your life right now. You see, God's plan for you is forgiveness and peace and an up-close and personal relationship and friendship with him. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future with him. We can approach whatever area of ministry God has called us to with this in mind. All people matter to God. And he will do all he can to include them in his goodness. This is why Paul and Barnabas found themselves in Pisidian Antioch. God's heart had led them there, y'all. Some scholars believe that Paul and Barnabas stayed in Pisidian Antioch at least 2 to 6 months because it was the administrative center of that region and attracted people from other cities. So this allowed the word of the Lord to spread all throughout the region. You see, God had a strategy that would allow Paul and Barnabas to reach the maximum number of people with the good news of Jesus because effective life-changing ministry produces joy and spirit-filled believers. 52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, who were the disciples here? Well, they were the Gentiles. They were the people who had received Jesus. And they were both Jews and Gentiles, who had heard the good news about Jesus and had been changed. And the scripture declares that they were filled with joy. Now they were filled with the Holy Spirit too. The Bible tells us that the joy, is the evidence that the Holy Spirit is leading our lives. Because, see, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, of course, the third person of the Trinity. Jesus told his disciples that he would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, after he went back to the Father. And then as we go through this whole book of Acts, you're going to see people being filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Because it starts out in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. Acts 2 and 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 2 and 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, and I could go on and on and on. Being filled with the Holy Spirit results in power, greater power, greater boldness, and greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit as he speaks through us. Being Spirit-filled changes our lives, and it helps us to overcome our own habits and bondage that continues to drag us down.
Preach, Apostle. Preach. Come on with it. Come on.
If you want your life to be ready for effective ministry, first and foremost, you need to make sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit already lives in you. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is a blessing that is separate from our forgiveness and our salvation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes,
sometimes
it
might happen nearly at the same time, but it often comes later. As we begin to pray and we begin to seek God's help to empower us to share his love and truth with others.
Yes, sir.
And in just a few minutes, we want to give you the opportunity to be prayed for so that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Huh. However, I need you to know today, first and foremost, it's God's world. And his will and his plan will be done. Now, either we're going to do it his way
or no way.
Hallelujah, yes. Because there is only one way to get to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
See, we need to know and understand that we all have gifts to share. So we need to allow God to cultivate those gifts in us his way.
Yes.
We should not be looking around at brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so to see what they do, and then we're going to one-up that. Or, you know, you never seen Jesus stand around and listen to all the apostles, and then he steps in and goes, yeah, well, I'm going to do y'all one better now. He was just busy about his father's business.
Yeah.
Okay? We need to know that we have gifts. But we can't get prideful in those gifts. Too many of us, when God begins to elevate us, we take it to a whole nother level. Oh, we get so spiritual that we are no earthly good. We are so busy proving who we are that we're ministering to nobody.
Yeah.
Okay? We need to know what our gift truly is so that God can use us effectively to reach people for his kingdom. God needs his children to have boots on the ground, filled with the Holy Ghost, going out to a dying, sin-sick world and asking them, do you know Jesus? And then begin to share about the goodness of God.
Yes.
Not the goodness of me, mine, and mine, but the goodness of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes.
And I want you to understand something. Hear me clearly. I don't care how wonderful your servant leader is. You better bow to God and to God alone.
Yeah.
Do not take my word for anything. Go to your Bibles. Study to show yourself approved.
Amen.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And then you're going to know for yourself what thus saith the word of God. We got too many people, too many professed Christians walking around wanting to be the only voice that that person hears, that new convert hears. But that's wrong. The only voice we want them to hear is the voice of God. We want them to hear Jesus.
Yeah.
We want them to pray to Jesus. We want them to serve Jesus, not us.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, today, maybe you have never asked Jesus to come into your life and save you. Maybe you have never asked Jesus for his help. You've been out there doing things all in your own, on your own, and it's going nowhere, you know, but into a dark abyss. Well, today, we're going to invite you to step into the light. Today, we're going to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ that will give you full access to the Most High God. And we praise God here at Spirit of Life because we know you don't have to get all dressed up and go into a building. You don't have to run around and get 10, 12, 15, 20 people. All you have to do is bow your heart. In all sincerity. And ask the Lord to come into your life and save you. So right now I'm going to ask that Evangelist Kathy Horton come into the room and lead you in that process. Amen. And to God be the glory.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. God bless the message. Glory, hallelujah. And God bless the messenger.
Thank you, Jesus.
You preached today. You preached. Life-changing ministry. Glory to God. Glory to God. The word says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We got to know how, and you did a beautiful job, how to witness to those that God sent us. Jesus told Peter, he said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. The older sheep feed down to the ground. The little older, a little younger sheep, they can eat the soft grass, but then you got your baby sheep that drink milk. You served it all, sister. You served it all. God bless you. Now, those of you who heard this word, you've been included. You're one of those sheep. See, God has you listening to this program for a reason. This is not an accident or a coincidence. See, he's including you. At this very moment, he's including you in his plan. God is. I ain't saying me. I'm not saying the apostle. I'm saying God is including you in this his plan right now because he got you listening to this program. So this is not an accident or coincidence because he loves you so much. God loves you so much that he wants you and him to have a relationship, as she was saying early. So if you can believe and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making yourself real to me. I surrender my life to use me according to your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name. And again, thank you for choosing me. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer, it's not hard. If you said that prayer, welcome to the family. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Vanessa Carver to come in and not only see it, she's going to, as she prays for the new converts, she will also be sealing this message, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Pastor Vanessa, would you please come forth?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Father God, today for the word that was spoken. And thank you, Lord, today for those who have received today, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, today for continuing to give them the level of peace and understanding and a level of courage as well to stand up for what is truth in their life now. I thank you, Lord, that you are always gentle with them, and I just thank you, Lord, that you surround them with people that will also be gentle with them, that they'll have a thirst more for the word of God purely from you and learn how to assist you in every aspect of their life. I thank you, Lord, today that this word be sealed today. I thank you for the vessel that poured into us and that you continue to pour into her. I thank you, Lord, today for giving her rest and giving her peace and everything that was depleted in her pouring out, that you restore it.
Yes,
Lord. Awesome love is shown through what was spoken today over us, and that your presence, Father God, is all in this word, that we know that it is active and alive. I thank you, Lord, that you begin to teach us individually as well as collectively the value of what was spoken to us and over us, and that we have a level of expectation that it will produce great things in our life, not just for us, but those in our sphere of influence. I thank you, Lord, that you begin to remind us about the word, that we begin to decree and proclaim those things that were spoken in the word specifically, that can be highlighted above us, that we become the light and be sent out in different places, and that we begin to understand how you direct and lead and guide us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you begin to enlarge territory in the, as how you enlarge our comprehension. And as we receive it, that we just not just say, okay, that was the word and we don't know how to live any, but daily begin, Lord, to begin to help us to enlighten and open up the eyes of our understanding about this word, that it'll impact our areas of soul, our will, our mind, and our emotions, Father God, to be whole. And I thank you, Lord, that we will set your word before us. We prioritize the things that were spoken today over us specifically, and that we will, you will be able to help us and begin to continue to teach us, Lord, what we heard, and that we have total trust in it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, part of being sensitive, as I said earlier in ministry, is you never want to put people on blast and you never want to put them on Front Street. But if there's anybody sitting in the sanctuary today that would like to have a word of praise, that would just like to let us know that you are here, if you would kindly press your 1 so that I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your number, you are more than welcome to do so at this time. As I said earlier, we do have Deacon William Isbell in the house, and we are so glad that he is here with us today. We love him, and we're glad. I'm always happy to see you. Sir, would you like to have a word this morning?
First of all, what you said about the Puerto Rican lady, I love you, and Jesus loves you, and it's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Deacon. We love you. Hallelujah. Now, there's a burden that has been laid on my heart, and I save this till last because I'm going to ask Bishop to come. There has been a burden on my heart for the men of God. And we need the men of God to truly take their rightful place. Over 10 years ago, Bishop Lester Carver said something that I use often, and I always give him credit for it because he brought it and it was so beautiful. He said, a man is meaningful, they are active, and necessary. That is the acronym of a man. So I've been really, we hear a lot of women praying, but we need the men of God to step up and take their rightful place. And to truly, and I mean in the sense that they should be leading the charge. Hallelujah. So I am going to ask that our bishop, who understands what it means to be a godly man in spirit and in truth, to come now and to pray for our brothers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And before I pray, I do want to share one thing from your teaching that was there that you may not have seen, you may have seen, but remember in verse 50 where it says when they came against Paul and Barnabas, it was the devout and honorable women and the chief of the men of the city that stirred opposition against them, right? And it's interesting because they took the honorable women first. Those were the ones who got it going. And then they picked a chief select, the chief men of the city in opposition, right? And so it's the same kind of dynamic that we see in the church, where you see all these women. And then
say that, Dad. That's why I knew you come on out with it.
Changes. And see, the beginning of the church, it was different. It was not quite that way, you know? You had the men, and then you had a few select women, right? And so what we want to do is get back to the point where we understand that it is all things done decently and in order. It's under God and man under Christ and woman under Christ.
Get all down to the nitty-gritty.
The children are all covered, right? But we have to be deliberate in what we do. And the other thing that just stood out to me about today's teaching is that we have to learn to intentionally encourage others and give them room to grow. Because when you see that what we're doing is we're all growing together. One plants, one waters.
Amen.
Right? So it's that humility. And what we teach men, and this is the thing, what we teach men as boys is how to control their power, how to actually restrain themselves, because the natural power of a man is sufficient to accidentally kill someone. And when you teach a young man, a boy, how to control that power, then he grows into a man who is sensible and knowledgeable and knows how to operate in the world. Well, in the kingdom, a man of God has to learn how to humble himself and to walk in humility, so that he can use and control the unlimited power that is within him as a vessel of God. So I'm going to pray for that right now, so that the men of God don't become false in their humility, but they learn how to embrace genuine humility that allows them to operate in the fullness of the power of God within them, so that they can be strong while being humble. And that is not an easy thing to learn. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have today to worship you together, collectively, God. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you for our unity and the love that we have among one another that allows us to submit to one another in that humility and allows us to glorify you. Father, I thank you for the way that we're able to prefer one another and to see each other as essential, and to understand that we all have a place in the body of Christ in order to nurture and strengthen and build one another up. Father, I thank you for you giving us the opportunity to encourage others as often as possible in the simplest of ways, to show them with our example and not just our words, but in what we do, to show them that you're real in our lives, to show them that are our source, and you are faithful in all that you do, and the work that you started within us, you're going to finish. Father, allow us to humble ourselves to you in a way that allows you to exalt us, so that we can be seen as the men of God that you called us to be. I thank you for us being able to reinforce and protect and surround the ministries of the women that you are using in our presence in such a way that what they're doing for you is reinforced by what we're doing for you. God, I thank you for our sheer presence being sufficient to make the difference, God. Father, I thank you for the men of God being seen and being present. Father, I thank you for you being heard through our presence alone as a strength, as a source of stability, as a source of security. And Father, I thank you for your knowledge being made manifest as a result of our submission to you. And I thank you for your purposes being fulfilled today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Saints of God, we have had a hallelujah good time today.
And I'm so glad that each and every one of you were here on today. Hallelujah. I praise God. And I just want to just suggest, this is a suggestion. I want you to continue to walk with, suggest that you continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network, because if you don't, you're going to miss some blessings. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, we will have Bishop Lester and Pastor Vanessa Carver as they come to us with their anointed teaching about God's great love for us. Let me tell you, if you don't know how much God loves you, just listen to that program. On Tuesday, we will have once again, Bishop Lester Carver for Tuesday night teachings. And we want to extend a special invitation to all the women and men for a very special Daughters of Naomi. It is entitled Sleeping with the Enemy. And we have some information that men and women need to know, because we're going, this is Family and Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So we are inviting you to come out, bring your sons, bring your daughters, and sit down and listen to this program as the men and women of God share with you some very important things of what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And then on Thursday, we're going to have Pastor Vanessa as she comes and shows us how to be overcomers through forgiveness on Wounded No More. And on Saturday, we will have the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. So as you can see, we're on all week, and we have something for everyone. So with everything, all business taken care of, I just want to say, may the grace of God rest, rule, and abide in you all greatly until we meet again. From all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, we pray that you have a beautiful and blessed week, and that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And so on behalf of myself, hallelujah, Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, hallelujah, Evangelist Kathy Horton, and Deacon William Isbell, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. God bless you, each and every one. Have a beautiful rest of your day, everybody. We love you. I see you 5950. God bless you. Love you. Love you, Deacon. God bless you. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you all. Love you.
God bless you all. I love you dearly.